Good morning. I don't know if you guys were paying attention during the announcements, but I learned a couple of things. One, Josh got pulled over on the way to church. I don't know if you guys noticed that. You did say that. No, your time is done. It's my turn. We're sorry. Did you try the I'm late for to lead worship at my church excuse? No. All right. Josh will be out back later. We can ask him. The other thing I learned is that Jared is not cut out for kids ministry. He's not tough enough. Yeah. So kudos to all the kids ministry teachers and volunteers and to all of you brave souls who went up to camp. I like my bed too much, honestly, for me to go up to camp. Well, good morning. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and today we get to talk about one of the best topics ever, which is food, right? Like, amen. But first, let me explain why we're talking about this. I'm kind of a big context guy, and so let's back up for a minute and kind of orient ourselves. Our focus this year as a church has been reaching the unchurched. It's been part of our Vision 2025, and we're calling that Mobilize 25. And the question that we have been wrestling with and talking about is, who are the people around us, the people we know, the people in our neighborhoods, the people in our workplaces that either don't know Jesus yet or who maybe do know Jesus and just aren't connected and growing at a local church? And so we want people to know who Jesus is. We want people to hear the good news of Jesus, and we want people to experience what we have here in church community. And so we've been coming back to this topic throughout the year with a sermon on this every 2 months, and each time we've learned about like a different aspect of this and learning about a different aspect of reaching the unchurched. In January, we talked about prayer and asking God to soften our hearts and to make us aware of the spiritual needs of people around us. That was in January. In March, we talked about inviting and bringing people to come see Jesus. And in May, we talked about listening because we want to hear people's stories and questions and listen for where God is already working in their lives. And then today, we're going to talk about eating. It's something everyone, I hope the snacks are good after because people are going to be hungry. But eating is something that we do, pretty much everyone does, 3 times a day. And there are really significant social dynamics as well as spiritual opportunities that happen at a table or when we share a meal with people. You can probably remember some really great moments in your life, some meaningful conversations around a dinner table. Maybe you felt particularly seen and cared for when someone like hosted you in their home, opened up their home to you, made your favorite meal for a special occasion. Because meals really aren't just about the food, right? I mean, meals are a way to bring people together and to connect, and every culture does it around the world. And this table fellowship is what we kind of refer to it in a biblical sense, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. There are feasts and there are festivals throughout the Old Testament to bring God's people together and for them to connect, but also to connect them with the story, to remind them of what God has done for them, to remember significant events. And then think about these occasions in these moments in the New Testament. Jesus's first miracle, was at a wedding or the dinner reception after that when Jesus turns water into wine. Or there was a time when Jesus's disciples are like jockeying for the spot right next to Jesus, the place of honor at the table, and he kind of calls time out and teaches them about humility and what true greatness is in the kingdom. That was a dinner table conversation. Or when Jesus is eating with some of the Pharisees and a woman, probably a prostitute, approaches them and she kneels down at Jesus' feet and begins to sob. And you may remember that story, and she she lets her hair down to dry Jesus' feet and then rubs perfume on them. And it's this absolutely scandalous behavior at the Pharisees' dinner table. And Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them about forgiveness. That was a dinner table conversation. There were two times that Jesus miraculously fed crowds of thousands and no one left hungry. No tables, but lots of eating together. Think of just a giant picnic. And then think of what we call the Last Supper, when Jesus has his disciples prepare the Passover meal in that upper room. And he pauses at one point around the meal and he stops and he washes their feet and explains that he came to serve, that he is the sacrificial lamb that will lay down his life to take away our sins. That was a dinner table conversation. So much happens at tables and over meals together in the Bible. And the big idea about table fellowship, kind of theologically speaking, is this. Jesus used meals to include people in the kingdom. Jesus used meals to show people kingdom values, to demonstrate God's love, and to invite people into the family of God. And we can do this too. Today we're going to look at one of those meals that Jesus had, and then we're going to also look at a parable about a meal. So it's like a meal wrapped in a meal, okay? So we're going to talk about a meal, and both of these are in Luke. And so if you want to work your way, open up your Bible or your phones and get to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read the text and we'll talk a little bit more about the context, okay? So Luke chapter 5 is the first meal we're going to look at. And I'm going to start in verse 27. It's a pretty short passage. So follow along as I read. After this, by the way, this is the NIV if you're wondering. After this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and he left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We'll stop there. So I love this little passage. I've preached on it a few times in my life. You've probably heard a few sermons on it. You might be familiar with it, but it's such a great moment for us to look at and to learn from. There's a lot packed in here. So first of all, context-wise, this is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. In addition to the crowds of people that are starting to follow Jesus, to listen to him, maybe to be healed by him, to hear more of his teaching, he's also drawing the attention of the religious leaders who are skeptical about Jesus and who are critical of Jesus and who are growing more and more confrontational with Jesus. And these religious leaders are the people who defined the social norms and really who determine the cultural life in Israel. Israel was supposed to be a theocracy with God at the top. And these religious leaders are supposed to be speaking for God. They're the ones who kind of get to determine or interpret and apply God's commandments and laws, and essentially they determine who is righteous and who is not righteous. And if you're at all fuzzy about your first century biblical history, tax collectors were not considered righteous. They were definitely not the most liked people in Israel. And if you think about it, I mean, in any society, are the tax collectors the most liked people? No. Has anyone thought, oh boy, I get to call the IRS today? No? So Levi,
who is, by the way, also called Matthew, is thrown in with sinners. In the eyes of the religious leaders, because he's a Jew who is working for the Romans, who is the occupying force at this time in Israel, in Jerusalem. And so Levi is essentially working for the wrong team. Levi is working for the bad guys. And the common practice, in addition to that, for tax collectors in the process of collecting their taxes for Caesar back in Rome was to also keep a chunk of that money, maybe a percentage, for themselves. They could kind of twist the rules, do a little bit of extortion, and again, they had the power of Rome behind them as they kind of took advantage of their countrymen and they got rich in the process. So tax collectors, definitely not appreciated, were not considered good, were not considered righteous, and were generally, well, always considered social outcasts. They were on the outside for sure. But Jesus calls Levi or Matthew, and he says, come follow me. Come follow me and become one of my disciples. And Levi, shockingly, says yes. And Levi does follow Jesus. He stops doing what he's doing. He changes his life. He follows Jesus. And in the process, he throws a party to celebrate. And of course, if you think about who Levi was and what society is like at this time and being called sinners, who do you think Levi's friends are? Tax collectors and other outcasts, other sinners. Now, Jesus could have said, hey, thank you so much for the invitation, Levi, but it wouldn't be appropriate for me to go to this party. Like, the optics would be bad, right? Like, it wouldn't look good for me to share a meal with you and your friends, like, together. People might think we're friends, or they might think I'm like your friends. They might think I'm on the wrong team, too. Not to mention, your friends are a little, like, rough around the edges, Levi. Might be a little uncomfortable. I mean, what would we talk about? Taxes? But Jesus goes to the dinner. In fact, the text tells us that the party is for Jesus, like he's the guest of honor. Levi is saying to his friends, like, hey, this guy has changed my life. I want you to meet him. And the Pharisees kind of blow their religious whistles, right? And they call, like, offsides, and they start criticizing Jesus, and they start asking the disciples some questions in our text. Now, I'm pretty sure the Pharisees were not invited to this party, and I'm quite sure they wouldn't have gone if they were, but they were not invited. And so you might be wondering, like, well, how is it that they're having this dialogue? How are they having this dialogue back and forth? Two options. One option is that the Pharisees heard about this party. It's possible, and the text leaves room for this, it's possible that there's some time in between this dialogue. Like maybe a day has passed or some time has passed and there's this conversation back and forth that's happening spread out over time. The Pharisees heard about the party the next day, a few days later, and then they confront the disciples, and then, you know, Jesus responds, and Luke has kind of compressed it for us, and here's the story. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Pharisees actually saw this party while it's happening in real time. Levi probably had a pretty nice house. There would have been an inner courtyard. There would have been kind of a bigger outer courtyard. Think of like a Mediterranean villa, right? And Jesus has been drawing big crowds, and it was common for those crowds kind of to follow the person around, maybe hanging out at a distance wherever Jesus goes, just to kind of see what happens. Like, they didn't have TV, they didn't have the internet. Like, let's see what's going to happen. This is the big news in town. It's Jesus. Let's see what's happening. Did you hear that Levi asked Jesus over for dinner? Let's go see what happens. Like, this is the talk of the town. And so the Pharisees, quite possibly, are also tagging along with the crowd too, kind of keeping a close eye on what's happening, on what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is saying, who Jesus is hanging out with. So the Pharisees maybe weren't at the party. They were kind of around the party, right? And they're seeing it happen and seeing what's going on in Levi's house. Either way, whether they heard about the party or they actually kind of saw the party happening, they didn't like it. They didn't like what was happening because they wanted to keep the people from all the sinners. They wanted to keep the sinners on the outside, to stay away from any unrighteousness, because they believed God was going to establish his kingdom and kick out the Romans once the people got their act together. Now, that's a real oversimplification, but that's the idea. The Pharisees' mindset and their understanding, I should say, for many of the Pharisees and their mindset, their understanding of the Old Testament law was, we need to clean up the house so that God will come. And Jesus says, you have misunderstood how God's salvation works. I have come to clean up dirty houses. Or in Jesus' words, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, let me say something that's really obvious to anyone. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what I'm about to say. It's so obvious for us, but we're so well-churched in this country and in this place and in this time. Here's the obvious statement. In order to reach the unchurched, we can't spend all of our time with churched people. We have to pursue proximity, right? We have to pursue proximity and sharing a meal together. Going to your neighbor's house or your coworker's party, or inviting people into your home and sharing a meal together, which is what every human does 3 times a day, is a really easy, great, meaningful way to do that. You get to have a conversation. You get to know them. You get to hear their story. You get to share about your life. You might even get to share about Jesus. Will it be uncomfortable? Maybe. Do you think it was uncomfortable when Jesus went over to Levi's house? Probably. But it's going to communicate that you care, and it's going to be an expression of love, and it's going to be an opportunity to open the door to the kingdom. So imagine like one of those, you know, pearly gates conversations that you hear, like, you know, in cartoons and jokes and stuff like that at the end of your life. And with Jesus about this dynamic, and he says to you, so did you share the good news about me with people? And you say, no, not really. I didn't hang out with any non-Christians. Okay, well, did you do anything to like get to know any non-Christians? Not really. I was pretty busy, and I wasn't sure how to do it. Okay, well, did you invite anyone into your home, like for a meal? No, that would have been kind of awkward. Okay, so you lived in a sea of people who didn't know me. I gave you a home to use, put food on your table, and you never invited any non-Christians over to share in that. Like, that's convicting. That's convicting for me. That's convicting as I thought that, because we really enjoy hospitality in our home with people from church. It's a little bit different, a little messier, a little more uncomfortable. Much higher likelihood of awkwardness when we invite people over who are unchurched and rough around the edges and we don't know what to talk about. But it's convicting to think about how we use our home to serve the Lord and to reach the unchurched. So in order to reach the unchurched, we can't spend all of our time with churched people. And like Jesus, we can use a meal to include people in the kingdom, to open the door. So let's move to our parable, okay? To kind of drive this home a little bit. Our parable is in Luke 14. So if you can turn to Luke 14. Here's the context while you're kind of turning there. Jesus is having dinner again. Surprise, surprise. But this time it's at Pharisee's house, or at one of the Pharisees' house. And I'll kind of give you the context so that the parable kind of makes sense. We won't talk about, read the whole passage, but this is that time when at the Pharisee's house, when the dinner bell rings, Jesus kind of notices that some of the people, the disciples are kind of jockeying for the places of honor at the table. And he says something to the guests about humility and about putting others first. And then Jesus turns to the host Pharisee. And he says this. He says, when you have a dinner party, don't just invite your friends who we all know because of like social customs and expectations. We know that they're going to invite you back, like kind of, you know, reciprocity. Like, I'll invite you over, you invite me over. I give you a birthday gift, you give me a birthday gift. We should have just bought ourselves something, you know. Maybe I've been married too long. I don't know. Her love language is gifts, among other things. So I gotta work on that. I don't see where she is. Hi! Okay, hold on. Back to my notes. Okay, he says, he says, when you invite people over, don't just invite people, your friends over, you know, where it's more comfortable, right? They're going to invite you over again, and you kind of keep your little club going. He says, actually, you should invite over people who don't even have a home. Like poor people and the lame, the blind, invite people who are kind of socially more around the edges and maybe even outcasts of society. Because Jesus says that is what righteousness really looks like, and that's what righteousness really acts like. And so then one of the other guests at the table, probably another Pharisee, turns to Jesus and he says this. This verse is on the screen for you. He says, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, the parable is going to come right after this, okay? But here's why Jesus is telling the parable is this verse right here. And it's hard to tell if this other guest is being totally genuine here. Like, as you read the text, it seems like it's almost like the Pharisees kind of saying, yeah, I get it. Invite other people over. Like, could we eat, please? Like, you know, when you're really hungry and you hope the person that prays is going to pray a short prayer, right? So that's one possibility. I'm really showing how unspiritual I can be. I'm sorry. That was too much laughing back there. What? Is that my mother-in-law that said something? No. Okay. So that's how this is going down. And the other possibility of kind of his genuineness is that since this is a dinner party with Pharisees, it's possible that this, if you think about this confrontation that's happening between Jesus and the Pharisees, it's quite possible this is like a bit of a jab at Jesus. Like, yes, Jesus, we all know about the kingdom. Like, of course, we will all be there at the great feast. We're insiders, remember? We're insiders, Jesus. Jesus, we're not sure if you're an insider. Like, we're not sure if you're going to be in the kingdom, but we will be. So could we say amen and get on to the meal? So whatever the motive is behind this man's words, his comment about like, yeah, blessed is the who in the kingdom, let's eat. Right? Jesus does not shut Jesus up. And so Jesus tells the parable in response to this comment. So if you want to follow along, we're going to start reading in verse 16 of Luke 14. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of this banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" So the picture in this parable of a great feast, or maybe even sometimes in scripture, a wedding banquet, is this biblical image of God's salvation and what eternal life will kind of be like in eternity. It's all throughout the Old Testament, especially in the prophets. You can read a lot about this great feast or banquet at the kind of establishment of God's kingdom. And as they talk about God's kingdom coming and God establishing his eternal reign, it's this picture of just a party with abundant food and wine. And everyone at this meal at the Pharisees' home would have been well-versed in this. They would have been, you know, they were for sure well-versed in the Old Testament. These are the religious kind of scholars and leaders, and everyone knows this recurring imagery of the great feast that kind of represents God's salvation. Like, Jesus is making a point. And they understand that the host in the story, in the parable, is God, and what is really important to notice in the parable is that the people that you would expect to be at the feast when the time came to show up didn't actually go to the feast, right? The expected insiders were outside. And the outsiders were inside. So here's how that went down. They had been invited initially when you know, the host plans this party. And they had kind of RSVP'd yes. And so the host makes all these preparations and prepares the food, gets everything ready. And then he sends out his servants, you know, ring the dinner bell, time to come, let's time to eat. The banquet's ready, dinner is served. And then all the invited guests make really lame excuses. Like, I just bought a field. I got to go take a look at it, make sure it's a good investment. I've got some new oxen. I need to take them out for a test drive. The third says he just got married, and which seems like a valid excuse, right? It seems like a really good excuse, but yes, no, because like the party was planned well in advance, and the wedding was planned in advance, and they had already kind of RSVP'd yes, and a little bit either bad planning at best, really rude and changing their mind, more likely. But all the people made excuses and they missed out on the feast. And so what the host does is just kind of blow open the doors, tells his servants to go as far as they need to go, invite anyone and everyone to the feast, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, just keep going, invite anyone and everyone to this great banquet because he's looking for people who will say yes to the invitation. And there's like this party going on, and it's a great feast, and the host wants to fill his table. And what we need to wrestle with, brothers and sisters, as we think about reaching the unchurched is, do we want to fill God's table? What lengths am I willing to go to invite people in and to pursue proximity and to share a meal and ultimately to show people what the kingdom of God could look like, to open the door? Because Jesus used meals to include people.
in the kingdom.
Both the unrighteous and sinners and tax collectors and the self-righteous, the Pharisees, he used these meals to get close to people and to tell them about the kingdom and to invite people to come in and to believe in him and to put their faith in him and to trust him for salvation and for righteousness. So, when you think about hospitality, we're a long way from first century Israel. So don't think of Martha Stewart, okay? That is not what we are talking about when we talk about hospitality. We are not talking about a perfectly decorated table. We are not talking about making just the right meal that's perfectly cooked. Hospitality does not mean being a gourmet cook. It doesn't mean your house, you know, looks like a magazine cover or a Pinterest board. So don't just think about inviting people over that you know or people who are comfortable for you. The challenge for us to think about today as we think about hospitality and we think about meals together is to think about it as a tool for furthering the kingdom, to reflect the kingdom, to reflect this great banquet in imagery, to invite people in to see Jesus in your life, to open the door to them, to the kingdom of God. So if hosting in your home is like impossible, and it may be for some, it's probably not for most, that's okay. You can ask someone to go out to dinner. You can ask someone to go grab lunch. You can just go get dessert or have them over for dessert or go get froyo or pick up tacos and go have a picnic in the park. Just pursue proximity over a meal, over food. But if you can host someone in your home, try it. That is the summer assignment, to practice kingdom hospitality. Not just comfortable hospitality, not just hospitality with church people, but kingdom-minded hospitality. So that's the challenge for us as disciples, as individuals. But I also want to tell you about something we're doing here at Green Hills this summer. Because while we want to be people who use meals, you know, to include others and show them the kingdom, we also want to do that as a church. And so we have on the calendar 2 food truck nights. We're going to make this so easy. We're going to host a dinner party together and invite as many unchurched people as possible. The first one's coming up on Sunday night, July 13th. We have 4 food trucks. They're all lined up. They're going to be here. We're going to set it up out on our front parking lot. We have street banners. We have yard signs. We're going to let the whole Green Hills community and anyone who happens to be driving up and down Imperial Highway, which is generally a few people, know about this and invite them to come. We also have these flyers that we're going to hand out to as much of the neighborhood as we possibly can, and we're going to buy 100 of our neighbors a meal. It says the first 100 Green Hills residents who bring this flyer to our welcome booth receive a coupon for free entree or dessert. So join us for this. Join us for this. It will be fun for our church family to hang out, to kind of throw a party, but it's also an opportunity for us as a church to practice kingdom hospitality, to include people who we can try and get to know them over a meal, over food truck tacos, right? They didn't amen to food truck tacos. They didn't have those in first century Israel. What a blessing it is to be alive today. So in addition to inviting someone like to your home and taking that seriously about using your home to practice hospitality and to further the kingdom, here's some things you can do for this food truck night. First, pray. Pray that unchurched people will come and pray that Green Hills people will be able to connect with them here. Like, let's all be cool, okay? Don't be weird. Don't make it awkward, all right? And invite someone you know to come with you. They don't have to live in the Green Hills neighborhood. Just maybe they're your neighbor or a coworker. Like, hey, my church is doing a food truck night. You want to come? I'll buy. Cool. And third, we could use probably a couple dozen people to help canvass this Green Hills neighborhood the week before, just to hand out flyers and, you know, say hi to people and hand a flyer to them, or if they're not home, put it in their mailbox or in their door. If you're interested in doing that, if you like walking, if you are ambulatory, please sign up and help us. We would love to have you, and we'll figure out the details of that. But you can fill out a Connect card. You can just text the church that you want to help. We would love to include you in that. So not only do we want to be people who practice kingdom hospitality, we want to be a church that practices kingdom hospitality. So let's pray together. Father God, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have to look at your word together and to talk more about what it looks like to reach the unchurched, and how with something as simple as a meal, Lord, you used that to further your kingdom and to open the door to the kingdom to people and to tell them about the good news of the gospel and the righteousness that you offer. And Father, it's such a simple thing that we sometimes overlook it, or we make excuses. And so would you help all of us to just be aware of those opportunities that we have to be brave, to extend an invitation, to have someone over into our home. Father, maybe it's someone that we want to invite to this first food truck night. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless that. Not only would it strengthen our community as a church, but Lord, would you help us be a place that people want to be and we can connect with, and Lord, that it would just be a really fun time for people who maybe aren't connected to a church and maybe who don't know you yet. Lord, we ask and pray that you would bless that time. Lord, there are so many people who don't know you, and it's easy to take that for granted, and so I just pray that your kingdom would be furthered and that you would let us be a part of that. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.